Does everybody have the trespass offering sheet? Okay, let's go to Leviticus 5. I still think that we need to talk some about one of the first things that happened. We talked about the place that the trespass offering was killed, but we started to talk about the disposition of the blood. Now, in order to find this in the scriptures, we have to go to a couple places. So first go to Leviticus 7, verse 7. It says, as the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. So that means that the mechanics about the sin offering in terms of how the sacrifice is killed and where it's killed are the same as for the sin offering. So we have to go now to Leviticus.
What is this? If I was going to put a big title on what we're talking about right now.
That's just what I wanted to ask, but I didn't know.
Now after all these years, finally you're taking notes and you want to know a title, right?
The title is the trespass offering. How about that one?
No, come on now. I'm serious.
Disposition of the blood.
Trespass offering, and we're talking about the disposition of the blood.
That's right.
So we go to Leviticus 5 and verse 9. This is talking about what happens in the sin offering. But we just found out it was the same that happens for the trespass offering. And it says, he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar. That was for the sin offering, the lowest order of it. Let me talk about it in general terms a minute. If we accept as the premise that the book of Leviticus is about access to God, and if we accept as the premise, and I can show it to you and you'll see it more completely the more we study it, that the idea of the shedding of blood, with regard to the concept of sin and the blood of Christ, is for the remission of sin, but that's only one picture of the blood. Another picture of the blood from the standpoint of where we are in this process is the sprinkling of the blood, or the shedding of the blood, has to do with access. And if you accept the idea that the goal of life is that we would be one with God, then any time that you feel separate, any time you feel out of sorts, any time that you feel in any way weird, afraid, in any confused, anything, any feeling that's other than perfect peace and joy, the only reason that you feel that at the bottom line is because you do not know that you are one with God. Do you understand? If you knew at all times that you were one with God, then everything else would automatically take care of itself. You understand that? That's a basic premise. Well, therefore, if this shed blood, the sprinkling of the blood, has to do with access, then I better understand the blood. If the whole book of Leviticus has to do with access to God, access to the Word of God, the burden of God under the wings of the cherubim, and every aspect of blood, as we go through this process from the door of the tabernacle to the altar to the chair, all through, you know, into the mercy seat, no step can be made without the shedding of blood, and no access to that particular thing or aspect can be made without the sprinkling of the blood. So somehow, blood becomes very important here. It's hard for us in the Western world that have been brought up like you have to ever understand the blood of Christ. People sing about the power of the blood. They sing about the blood of Christ every Sunday night. We take the afkamen where we talk about, this is my blood which is shed for you, the remission of sin, and you do it like a dolt. It's a robotic thing to do. You have no idea what it means. Because in our society, we have developed culturally 10 billion other things for access, for redemption, other than blood. But in a primitive society, the only basis of redemption, the only basis of access, was the shedding of blood.
We never see blood.
You never see blood. Mm-hmm. You're protected, you're inured, you're manured You're from the ever seeing or the you eat what constitutes. I mean, all of the food, any kind of a meat you eat would have, you know, you'd have to have the shedding of blood, but you never see it because the grocery store comes wrapped. Even if you're a vegetarian, the juice of the thing that you're eating, in the Hebrew, it's the word dam, which is blood. So that the idea that even as a vegetarian, there's no possibility of life without the shedding of blood. There's no possibility of you having any sustenance. There's no possibility of you having a tomorrow without the shedding of blood. But it means nothing to us now. Christ said, all of those places, all of the times that you see the shedding of blood, they're speaking of me. What happens now? Just as the stars no longer give the light of revelation, we, because of the Antichrist, because of the God of this world, has pushed us towards what we call civilization. Its real function is, if you look at the end result of what the world calls civilization, the end result is so that you will never have to see blood. You understand? Can you hear me? You never have to see the death that of things that is necessary for you to have the next breath of life. So you never see the picture, so you never know the mystery. So all it does is enhance your idea of your divinity, your own divinity. And you become the egocentric thing of the whole world. Here we begin, now in this study of the offerings, we begin to possibly understand blood and access. You begin to see that you can't even eat. There's nothing that you can eat, whether even a slice of bread, that at some point in the process didn't require the shedding of dam, which is blood in the Hebrew, or the juice of, or the which could mean the moisture of the wheat kernel, the juice of the grape, whatever it is, the water in a celery stalk. Whatever it is, something had to shed blood in order for it to benefit you. Something had to die in order that you could live. Again, society, civilization, the Antichrist, the God of this world, is pushing civilization towards the point where no one on earth will ever have to realize that something has to die in order for you to live. Again, if we believe what Jesus said, that all things are parables, this then is the biggest parable of all. The reason that God created you so that you would be hungry is so that you, every time that hunger was sated, you would see the death of Christ. Every time you were thirsty, you would see the blood of Christ. I beg of you to hear me. But everything now, Satan has succeeded in making all of the things about the blood and the bread and the shedding of blood, all they are ghettoized so that they're only religious. If you're religious, you only think of them at the time of some sacrament. If you're non-religious, you never think of them. So therefore, it's nothing.
You know, I was sitting here thinking about how we are isolated from blood, and I was thinking, okay, well, we've done with that, what we usually do. There's a place, there's the blood place, the hospital, and there's the people in the gowns and stuff, and they go in the room, and that's where you do the blood stuff, and then when you come out, you're stitched up, and there's no problem. But then when you said that, I realized, well, it's the same thing. I mean, there's a place where the blood is. It's in the church, and it's handled by the professionals in the stuff, and that's where it is, and then you come out, and then you're sewn up. It's the same damn thing. There's no cutting. There's no blood anywhere. It's sterile.
Yeah. But Leviticus 5. from now on, even the placement of the words, even what is there and what isn't there, becomes an incredible part of the mystery as we study the scriptures. They're not just words to speak to your understanding. They are a paradigm of the revelation of Christ. Even the way the sentence is structured, even what's said and what isn't said. You got it? Okay. I want to read all that's said in here about the trespass offering. I want you to see something. And I'm going to go ahead and read it instead of saying, because it somehow something gets lost when I say you read it and you read it. It's like it becomes a game instead of a concentration. So focus your energies. And this Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then shall he bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation, by shekels of silver, after the shekels of the sanctuary, for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. And if a soul sin and commit any of those things which are forbidden to be done through the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet is he guilty, and shall bear his iniquity. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, though it shall be forgiven him. And it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He hath certainly trespassed against the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, in the Hebrew it says trespassing therein, then it shall be because he hath sinned or trespassed and is guilty. And he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he hath found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely. He shall even restore it at the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereunto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in the trespass offering therein, or in trespassing therein. Now, from reading that, what's the disposition of the blood? It's not mentioned. It's not seen. Who kills it? It's not seen. Why? Because the trespass is the lowest of the lowest possible things to apprehend. You understand? Of all of the offerings, what we're studying right now is the lowest thing to apprehend. We don't see that it requires a life. It requires a ram. What the hell does that mean? You understand? Who kills it? It doesn't talk about death. It doesn't talk about blood. It doesn't talk about the disposition of it. You hear me? It's mind-blowingly important. Go to Philippians a minute. Chapter 3. Verse 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Let me repeat that again. What things I counted gain to me, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Meditate on that someday. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. You notice it says the faith of Christ. It no longer talks about faith in Christ. We are now, from this point forward in our lives as Christians, as believers in bananas, we're never going to talk about believing in anymore. God no longer cares what you believe in. He doesn't care if you have faith in something. He wants you now to have the faith of. Not the faith in. Massively different. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I promise you, my friends, there's no possibility of being made conformable unto his death without the apprehension of these offerings. Otherwise, it would require you to go out and be nailed to the cross. You can do that if you want to. Then you might understand a little bit. I doubt it. You'd find a way to make that self-realization. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now the word perfect there doesn't mean what we think it means. It's the Greek word teleos, and it means fully tested, lacking nothing, because it's been fully tested. Not that as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. What we're talking about now is not anything to do with you. But it's talking about apprehending Jesus Christ. What I just said about the trespass offering, as it's read, when you read it in the first blush of it in the Torah, or in the book of Leviticus, there is nothing mentioned about the blood. So the mind, the first baby, what we're studying now is baby Christianity. The mind says, it's something that I did as a trespass against my neighbor. I feel sorry for it. Somehow I know and I perceive that a ram has been offered, in the same way as in Isaac's case, when Isaac, the ram was in the thicket, instead of Isaac, the ram was offered. But I don't know, nor do I see its inward manifestation of what it means. I only know that somehow I've made a mistake and I've offended somebody. You understand me? But I don't see the depth of that offense because it requires the death of something. I don't know what happened to the blood. I don't see, in other words, I don't see the mystery of the completed Christ. This is like the schematic diagram of Jesus Christ. Now, first in the trespass offering, we see a stick figure. Then, in the sin offering, we see some substance being put on the stick figure. Then we go to the meal offering, and the peace offering, and the burnt offering, and with each understanding and with each offering, we complete and put on flesh onto those sticks. But your joy and your ability to abandon yourself will be subject to your, is directly proportional to your apprehension of what he finished. So, everybody look at this. Now, I shouldn't have done it this way, but I did. Where it says disposition of blood, or where it says where killed, I should have said, it's not mentioned. Because it's only mentioned in passing by saying it's as it's for the sin offering, so it for the sin offering. So it's like.
So you won't know that. You wouldn't know that until you know that you are sin.
Right. All you'll know now is that, and it happens, you see it all the time, you get caught at something. If you didn't get caught at it, you'd never understand it was a trespass. Does that make sense?
Yes, fix it, it's okay.
And then you get caught at it, and sometimes your eyes are still on yourself, so all you know is that somehow there's been a sacrifice made, but you don't see the meaning of it or the details of it. Okay? So again, now we're back to, as it said in the, we just read it now in the, when we studied the sin offering. I want to spend a minute on the disposition of the blood. Do all of you have the tabernacle? Look at B in the tabernacle. The altar of burnt offering. Notice that it's made of brass. There is nothing at that altar except judgment. And yet, now, God is telling you, by the disposition of this blood, that somehow you want access to judgment. I want you to dwell on this one and meditate on this one. Why do you want access to judgment? It sounds stupid. It's like, why would somebody agree to be on the hot seat? Why in God's name would you want access to judgment?
Without access to judgment, you couldn't have access to mercy.
Because what's been is no longer accepted.
Yeah, but think about it deeper. Go another level. Okay. Why do you want access to judgment? Because only one reason, and this is the only time that you can get here. Unless you know this, this is as far as you can go in Christianity. The only reason you want access to God's judgment is because your judgments have failed. All of your judgments. If there's any judgment that you have left retained for yourself, if it's judgments about people, if it's judgments about style, if it's judgments about food, if it's judgments about anything, if you have any judgments left, you cannot go any farther than we are right now. Now, I promise you, all of you, I know you well enough to know that you really don't have any judgments left, but this idiot evil one keeps telling you that you have valid judgments. You understand me? It's so important that you, as a public witness here, confess that the only reason you want to get to the altar of judgment is because every single judgment and opinion that you have had has failed. If you don't get that, and a couple of you, I mean, Harry, you really need to hear this. Ed, you really need to hear this. If you have one judgment, or one class of judgments that you still hold on to as valid, we can't go any farther. You have to produce your strong cause. If you have judgments about, I mean, we're getting down to the emotional area here. The judgments about style, judgments about color, judgments about, you understand? Not that you don't have them, but hear me, that you don't think any of them are important. Do you understand that distinction? I don't think you do. And the reason I know you don't is because I see you when you're not in this position looking at this. this is what we're going to do. We're going to cut this up in little pieces. When we see sprinkling of blood at a place, we know that in this trek we're on, in our battle with our mind, we have got to come and face a battle. The battle right now is your judgments, your opinions, your value system. Very, 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 almost no one in the history of the world has ever reached the point that you're standing at. To desire to face the judgment and to be down there and take the blood of Jesus Christ and sprinkle it at the base of the altar and confess to God that I want your judgments. Let's take a break. I want you to think about this one a minute. Altars. Within the tabernacle, there are two altars. One is this altar that's labeled B here. It's called the altar of burnt offering. And the other is the one that's labeled H, the altar of incense. The altar of the burnt offering is made of brass. The altar of incense is made of solid gold.
What's gold mean?
Gold is glory, brass is judgment. Always in the scriptures. Silver is redemption. What does redemption mean? It sounds like religious, a religious world. Redemption means to be purchased back. To be redeemed means to be, there's a couple of really great ways to think about redeemed, but I can't remember them now. So we're not studying that anyway. But there's nothing really desirable to the flesh about this altar of burnt offering, about this place. All it is this huge altar. It's huge. Trust me in this one. It's huge. It's big enough to burn bullocks on. And it's made of brass, and it's pretty, the brass isn't shiny and nice. It's ugly brass. There's nothing about this altar that is attractive to the senses. All it does, can you imagine how this place smells? It doesn't smell like a barbecue. It smells like burning hair and burning blood.
Not to miss it. You ever smell brass when it gets wet?
You ever smell burning hair when it gets wet?
Yes.
Wet, bloody, burning.
Now, hear me. Every part of you, every aspect of you, every molecule of you and the world wants to go from the door to the mercy seat. It wants to go from the door at least to the glory of the golden altar without going through the process, without everything about Satan is to tempt you to take a shortcut. So, all these idiots, nobody is wrong. You know, they can say all this stuff. They're just, nobody's theology or philosophy is really wrong. Do you understand that?
No, what are you saying?
Huh? Hear me. There's no such thing as a theology, even nihilism. It has some part of it, some component in it that's a benefit to you. I mean, it would be impossible for your mind to conceive of a philosophy or a theology that was totally without merit to you.
Okay, I understand that.
Can you hear me?
This one you talk about that everybody believes something.
And what they believe, they think it's right. Nobody believes something wrong. But I'm saying further than that, they're right. But what they're doing is they're trying to get there without going through the cross. Or they're trying to get there without going through the altar. Now, the word in the Hebrew to eat is akal, A-K-A-L. Is a transliteration. But the word in the Hebrew to burn is akal, A-K-A-L. From a spiritual standpoint and from a natural standpoint, this brazen altar is analogous to your stomach. It's what sustains you. It's what you eat, because everything that's on this brazen altar is burned. So, also this altar in the book of Leviticus is called the table of God.
Wait, which one?
Altar B, the brazen altar. Now we're getting to some kind of a reason why we want to have access to the judgment. The reason we want access to judgment is so that we can eat with God.
What you want to do is you want to walk in the door and you want to go right to the gold.
You want to go to the gold stuff. You don't know particularly what it is, but
suddenly want to cut a wide path and have a press.
Oh yeah.
The reason the bells went off is I would like to be able to sit here or sit someplace. Maybe even just sit and listen to a tape by myself, but here or a classroom or at the foot of somebody on a mountaintop and have the stuff inside my head change to like nice golden thoughts and some benefit. Without any physical interface on a moment by moment, day by day basis that comes against this organism, this mind.
Man. Now, do you understand? I mean, Tyra just accused me, or accused, said that it was that what I was saying was too intellectual for her to understand. That's a lie. It's an escape mechanism by this evil one. Hear me closely. There's no one that cannot understand that their what they think about stuff has to die. Now that's all Liz says. That's all I've said. There's no one that can understand that to walk through this door requires their death. Your mind, if there's some part of you that doesn't want to die, your mind will take 10,000 excuses to keep from going that way. You understand me? The act of going to the brazen altar, the act of going to the altar of judgment, is an act that can only be done when there's nothing left in the world for you to do. When, for whatever reasons, from whatever things that have happened, whether you've empathized it or experienced it, The act of getting from the door to the brazen altar is only an act that you can do when there's nothing left in the world for you to do. If there's one thing left for you to do, then we have to wait. We have to wait for you. If, for whatever reason, you have become so inflamed with the thing that we as a body are waiting for, then that thing becomes an offense to the mystery. And it's better to pluck out the right eye and go enter in blind. And it's better to cut off the right hand and enter in maimed. You understand me? We wait till the point that we find out whether or not there is an offense. If it's an ensnarement, entrapment, offense means that a snare for self-seeking. If there is a snare for self-seeking, if there is an entrapment, then the thing that Jesus said about it's better that you cut off your right hand or pluck out your right eye. This is entering into the kingdom. The kingdom of God is only within these white curtains. The kingdom of heaven is only within these white curtains. Everything you can know about the kingdom of heaven is within these white curtains. This white curtain existed before the creation of the world. It is the thing that everyone in the universe is searching for and has always searched for. It's the mystery that's within this tabernacle. And the services within that tabernacle, you know, I can blithely say, I can blithely say that it's Jesus Christ that every man is searching for, but that won't communicate. You understand? I can blithely say that this tabernacle is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That too won't communicate. But when I start, and when we start breaking down, and we find out that the B part of this is the what's taking place in the stomach. We find out what the H part of this is, what's taking place in our thoughts. I mean, when we see that this is a revelation of every man and it's not negotiable, then communication is possible.
Is this correct? We're talking about not being able to go further. That because the first thing that we apprehend is the trespass offering, that the first step is this thing that you said last time about dying in the place where you think you're right.
That's right.
Is the first
step. Not just dying in a place, that's not inclusive enough. It's not just dying in the place where you think you're right, it's dying in the place where the thing you want. No, all of the offerings are made, they start out at B.
Oh, really?
All of the offerings are made here. Peace offering, burn offering,
cool.
Meal offering, everything is made right there. Can everybody hear a little bit more? We're going to take this slowly at first. This is this table full of vomit, because rather than putting on there the life, they're putting on there what they've regurgitated.
Oh, so it's just a matter of taming what...
Yeah,
if that table's anywhere, it has to be everywhere.
It's everywhere. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 10. Does anybody have a fancy Bible?
I have one of them right there once.
No. Oh, the Thompson chain? You got a Thompson? Would you find out where it says, we have a table to eat at that they have no right to eat of?
Would that be the very beginning of a...
well, let's don't do that now. Let's just go here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. The first 11 verses are about following the reason that the Old Testament existed and the reason the wanderings existed and the reason Leviticus existed to be a type or an example to you. And it says, whereof let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, if there's anything, to stand is to have an opinion. Do you understand that? Whereof him who thinketh he standeth. You can have an opinion about what you want and you can have opinion about what you think. Both of them are taking a stand. Everybody understand that? There hath no that wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. In other words, it's not a big deal. You think it's a big deal, but it's common. Now you kind of hate to hear that. My problems are special. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Now, again, this is the law. In other words, we've got to get a new idea of what law means. Now, law or Torah. It doesn't mean like something that you've invented to have peace in society or something. It means the way the thing works. And it operates independent of whether or not anybody thinks it or does it. Do you understand that? The law is the way the thing works, and the Torah is the revelation of how the thing works. So the real meaning of law is a schematic diagram of how the thing works. A real, intense, detailed explanation of how stuff happens. That's what Torah means. Now, part of what we're about to study is when and who is allowed to eat or gain sustenance or gain importance or how can I say it? It's sustenance is the best. Gain strength, gain identity from eating and what you eat and don't eat and who can do it within this tabernacle. Now, when the New Testament says we are priests, that's a legal definition. That's a legal thing. It's not just some isolated, kind of starry-eyed thing that some preacher says. It's a legal definition. And because it says we are priests, then we are entitled to all the benefits of this Torah. And we will describe and see what those benefits are in detail as we study this offering. Do you understand? So when it says, behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What it says, partakers is a terrible word. It says, are not they which eat of the sacrifices identified with the altar, is what it should say. Now, to be identified with the altar, you cannot be identified with this altar, as we've just seen, unless you are identified with your own death. Understand that? What God is saying to us here in this great mystery is you cannot be sustained on a second-by-second basis in the true mysteries of the universe unless on a second-by-second basis you are identified with your own death. Mind-blowing! To eat of it is to be sustained by it. Not by what the world thinks they should be sustained by, or everybody else. This is what sustains us. And the mystery of it is, as we'll see in a minute, is it's we eat at the table with God. We are sharing with Him, and what gives Him pleasure is giving us pleasure. Then separation or fear or confusion are impossible. Not because of what I understand, it's because of what I know in my heart that I'm eating at the table with God. I'm being sustained by the same thing that sustains Him, and eventually I'm being identified as one with Him. But by what we eat. Hear me. Remember, Jesus said this incredible stuff. You are they which justify yourselves among men, but God knows your heart. For those things which are highly esteemed among men are an abomination unto God. Okay, watch. Verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice. Now, sacrifice is a word that's it simply means give importance to, give breath to. It means the same thing as worship. What do you give importance to? That's what you sacrifice to. That's why God says, Paul said, Use the world, but don't give it breath. Don't sacrifice to it. Just use it as a hammer. But there's nothing in the world to give any importance to. I say the things which the Gentiles sacrifice or give breath to or give importance to, they are sacrificing to demons and not to God. That's a biggie. Because what you sacrifice to has to pass the test of this altar. In other words, it has to pass the test of your death. That's why community is possible only in this arena. Because no other kind of community is possible, because in every other kind of community, the ego, what you eat, will separate as opposed to bring together. Now, do you hear? I don't care if... we always run into this. When anybody's about to leave, they say, how come nobody else in the world says this stuff? Because it's impossible for them to say this stuff unless they are willing to die that instant. Die to everything. Die to their desires. Die to their wants. Die to their opinions. Die to everything. Now, when we see that the blood of the trespass offering is sprinkled at the base of this altar that gives us the right to have access to that altar. What I've said tonight is what it's saying. A little bit of it. Teeny little bit of it. I mean, are you beginning to hear a little bit about the meaning of the wonder of these sacrifices? Where the scriptures say, behold, I will show you wondrous things out of my Torah.
This thing about eating on the altar and being sustained by what you eat and being priests, it's like we've been translated so that which normally, it's almost like a reversal of the second law of thermodynamics. It's like that which normally destroys and drags down and is the negative thing in men's lives has become that which sustains us.
Well, listen, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. That's a biggie. Now, you cannot drink. It doesn't say you shouldn't. It says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You understand that? What that means? That's a law. It's an impossibility. It's not that you shouldn't. It's that you can't. You cannot eat of the cup of the Lord, drink of the cup of the Lord, if there's any cup of the demon that you desire to drink to. This has got to cost you everything, and it's going deeper and deeper and deeper as we study the offerings. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Do you understand what that means? It means that you at the core believe you are stronger than God. That's why you think it is necessary for you to go out and establish your own rightness. Do your own thing. Because you at the core believe you are stronger than God. That is why you elevate yourself above Him who is in your temple, and you put yourself in the throne of God, and you decide for yourself what is good and evil, what is right and wrong, what I think about this, what I think about that, and you give breath to everything instead of nothing. You sacrifice to everything instead of God. That's the lesson of this temple. That's the lesson of the first thing we've learned about the trespass offering, is the disposition of the blood. Now, we've jumped ahead a little bit because you really didn't know about the disposition of the blood until you studied the sin offering, because it says, as is the sin offering, so is the trespass offering. This isn't...
This is great.
Once what I said in Leviticus 7:7, where it says, as is this, that's the disposition of the blood wasn't mentioned in the actual words about the trespass offering. Yeah. Except to say that as is the trespass, as is the sin offering, so is the trespass offering.
Well,
that's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. That's enough to think on.
Yeah, we'll see you next
Wait time. Until we get to this one. That's the next one. That's the sin offering.
Did you say take a big gun?
Take a big gun.